Thank you, Brother Bill, for leading us in our singing today, and Tommy and Chris and Jim, all of you that have already participated in our service, a thanks to you and all of you men that helped us serve the Lord's Supper. It is our goal that all that we do is to be done in order that God may be glorified. That's our purpose in being together today. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And all together we said, Amen. Because that's what the book says, Ephesians 3:20 and 21. That was a great song, Bill, about believing in the Jesus, the Christ. This is a great day. You probably have long memories of what this kind of a day meant in your home, your family growing up. I'm not going to take the time to try to explain to you about rabbits and eggs. I will just tell you, if you own a computer, most of you do, you can go look that up, and you can find out where all of that came about. But you know that we're going to talk about the resurrection on this day, and it is in the resurrection that we have hope. And it is my goal that this morning what we have to talk about is it would be the kind of things that will encourage us to not only give a mental assent, if you will, to the concept or the idea of a risen Savior, but that we truly would be people who believe in the risen Savior. I don't know if you realize that or not, that the resurrection is a controversial subject, even in religion. No matter where you may find yourself, lots of folks have different ideas about all of that. Those of you that know me know that I was raised in the automotive world, really. My father owned a business. He was quite a prankster. Used to keep a book on his counter where you paid out, and he would change. It had a leaf that you could pull and put other covers on that book. But that book was actually hooked up to a Model A coil. So the title on that book might have all kinds of different things, like everything you wanted to know about your wife, or maybe it might have said what you don't know about the resurrection, just to get people to be curious enough to flip that cover on the book there on his counter. They were in for a shocking surprise when they lifted that up. Now, some of you won't understand what a Model A coil is, but I don't have time to explain it to you. But it is a shocking kind of experience. But he also had another sign on his in the shop there on the outside of the office part, and it said. My father was a believer in the resurrection. He was a Christian man, and he did believe in Jesus, the resurrected Savior. And the sign says, if you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, you ought to be here at our place 5 minutes before quitting time. More people got a laugh out of that sign and caused my dad to talk to him a lot about the Lord very often, just because of that. And that's not what I'm here to talk about today, the things that would be humorous. But I want to say to you that a lot can happen in 3 days. If you don't get anything out of what we're going to read some scripture here, and I know that most of you are already believers there. There may be some of you who have your doubts about this. I don't know where you may be. All of the faces in this crowd I don't recognize today. But I hope you'll hear what the Scripture has to say. I hope you can leave from here with some positive things that will help you be a believer in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our scripture that I'm choosing today, and we could have used the one we read earlier in 1 Corinthians. There's a great explanation of the gospel and all of that that is mentioned over there. But this is Matthew chapter 28, the first 8 verses I'm going to read. After the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. Behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him, and they became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Just as he said, come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and they ran to report it to his disciples. He's not here. He's risen. Now, if you're looking for the Lord, I think you know what I mean when I say that. If you're looking for something in your life to be made right, you're looking for what's missing out here in the world, because you see, all of the things that you will pursue out here, even though you may have worldly gain, they will never make you a contented person. Right, Ricky? I know he's back counting his money, but you can tell him I said it. He is the risen Savior. Now, in the reading, you know, expositorily, just looking at what we've read, there are several things that you might come away with. First of all, I think there are 4 things the resurrection does for us, and I think you'll see them in this reading. Verse 5, he says to them, "Fear not." And that simply says to you, I hope that the resurrection is something that calms you, not worries you, or not causes you confusion, or makes you want to debate about whether or not a person who was dead could be alive. But if you know our God, you know that there is nothing too hard for our Lord. And he promised, not only the Lord Jesus, but his Father promised that this sacrifice, this Son that he would send, would give his life and resurrect from the dead, that we might have hope of eternal life with him. The other thing I think it ought to do for you is it ought to assure you, or reassure you possibly. Remember how the verse tells us that he says to the women, "Come and I know who you seek. I know who you're looking for. But he's not here." I want to say to you, and I don't want to shock you, but if you came looking for Jesus, he's not here. I hope you'll understand what I mean by that. Because the only place you're ever going to see Jesus is in other people who know Jesus.
I know a lot of people wonder about, why do you go down there and sit with all those hypocrites? I said, well, because I'm a hypocrite too. I like good company. I do the best I can to be like Jesus, but I fall woefully short. And I hope that the resurrection is a teaching and an understanding that assures you that you will know who you're looking for. And I will pray that you will know where to go to find Him. And then, the angel said to them, come in here and take a look. Look and see where the body of Christ was. This is where he was. You see, the resurrection, the fact that Jesus is gone, is teaching them, instructing them, that what the Bible said, what the Father said, what the Savior said about His resurrection was true. And then you gotta love this part. He tells them, can you put yourself in their place? You're looking in a tomb that you know the Lord's body was placed. You have in your possession the things to take care of the dead. You've brought all of the spices and all of the things that are naturally take place when you're going to prepare a body. That's what they came there for, to do. Then the angel rolled away the stone, and there was nobody there. Jim, do you think they could keep themselves from going somewhere and saying, hey, you know what? Guess what? Go and tell them, go tell the disciples what you've seen. Instruct them. Teach them. Let me give you a commission. Go and spread the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what I hope the resurrection does for you today, is it causes you to want to tell someone else about Jesus our Lord. Now there were a small group of people in the church at Corinth who had just swallowed up, if you will, the Sadducean notion that there is no resurrection of the dead. And Paul dealt with that in that letter. That's why that letter has so much to do with the gospel story, the death, the burial of Jesus Christ. They denied that all life after death, like maybe many modern people today, might be in denial of the Lord's resurrection. But you see, the facts of the gospel, or the gospel message, are written for us there to read. It's a very simple thing. If you'll just give me a minute here, I'll bring you there. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, listen, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scripture,
And that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and after he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and then to all of the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. Now, that's a testimony of Paul, who never did see him. Or he didn't follow him when he was alive, that we know of. Jesus, who died, and now let me amend what we said earlier. If you want to find Jesus, you have to look in the right place. And this, my friend, is the right place. In His Word. It's all about what the Scriptures have to say. It's where we will find the meat of our lessons. Christ died for our sins, He was buried, and He is raised again, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Raised up, my friends, in order that we might have the opportunity of eternal life. Prophecies and types of the Old Testament pointed forward, if you will, to the death of Jesus. In Psalms 22:69, the prophet writes in Isaiah 53, Zechariah tells us in 12 and 13, and they all say the same thing. They all tell of the suffering death, which we talked about some last week, the suffering death of Jesus the Christ, and that God would empower Him to rise from the dead and to bring about salvation for all people. The life of the flesh is in the blood, as He writes to those in Leviticus 17 and verse 11. And He says, I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your sins. That was the animal sacrifice, right? This is the heavenly sacrifice. For it's impossible, you see, for the blood of bulls and goats to take away the sins of mankind, as He writes to us in the book of Hebrews 10 and at verse 4. And then we're told by the New Testament several other things. First of all, we're told that Christ truly died according to the Scripture. Read Hebrews 9, 13 through 17. You'll get another rendition of that in the New Testament. He was buried. We are really dead and not seemingly dead, as some have taught. I can't believe that someone would teach that Jesus was seemingly dead. And yet there are those who do. He was raised up then on the third day. And in the sermon on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter is saying in his lesson, and so because he was a prophet, and he knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and he spoke to the resurrection of the Christ, and that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. Now that had to be something. In that scripture we read, remember it said that not only the ones, his disciples who were close to him saw him, but we're told that over 500 saw him. They saw his fleshly body. When the women find him on the road back to tell the disciples, they fall at his feet and kiss his feet and worship him. He was not seemingly dead, friends, or seemingly alive. But yet he was alive as he was before. The resurrected Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. As you know, as we sing, Bill, in your song that you led for us, death cannot keep his prey. He tore the bars away. Jesus, our Savior. And up from the grave he arose. The resurrection of Jesus is ascribed even to every person of the Godhead. Destroy this temple, said Jesus, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jim, I took 3 days out of this week and I went to Stephenville, and you know what happened? I came home with Grandpa again. Now, I thought that was pretty good. But that's nothing compared to 3 days in the tomb after being dead, Ricky, dead, raised to walk in newness of life, is the Christ who came forth from the tomb. In 3 days, the body was raised. That's John chapter 2, 19 and 20. He spake, of course, of the temple of his body. He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Tom, you must have studied that last week or a week or two ago in Romans chapter 6. Yes. Raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Romans 6 and verse 4. Hebrews 13 verse 20. His resurrection is also attributed to the Holy Spirit in Romans 8 and verse 11. And the three persons of the Godhead are united in the glorious work of raising the Christ from dead to living. Just as he is involved in the glorious work of bringing you alive from your sins, from dead to living. That's the power of the resurrection of our Lord. It's found in the Scripture. We have no proof that we are Christians aside from the resurrection of Christ. And what we were reading in that, what Paul was saying, we would be just absolutely, our worship is in vain. We would be of all men the most pitied among all men, going around believing in this thing that just wouldn't be true as far as they were concerned. But it is true. That's because the resurrection is the great cornerstone, you see, of Christianity. He was raised for our justification. God declared by bringing Christ from the dead that the sacrifice that was given was accepted, that sinful man could now be saved. The resurrection also foretold by the Scriptures in Leviticus 23. We see this picture in the feast of the first fruits on the morrow after the Passover Sabbath. That can only refer to the resurrection of the first day of the week. On and on, the Bible is filled with these marvelous, marvelous truths. The resurrection of Christ is a pledge, my friends, to our own life. Why was the stone rolled away? Now let the disciples in. Let them see. The resurrection, you see, of Christ is a pledge of our own resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I believe it's verse 20, says, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep." I'm not talking about you that are asleep on the pew. I'm talking about being dead because of sin, now made alive
because of the Christ. What a marvelous thing.
Well,
hey, I know it's a great family day. Let me make four last little points quickly. And I pray that you'll spend your day with your family and you'll be thinking about what Jesus has done for us and what He's done for your families. There are so many things that could be said. You see, the signs of the resurrection were that the disciples became so very bold. You remember how they were told that they would never, not, they were not to ever preach Jesus and His resurrection again. What'd they do? They just kept on preaching, didn't they? They asked for God to empower them so that those threats would mean nothing. Doubters became believers. I hope somebody in the crowd today who's doubted about the resurrection of Jesus and its meaning to all of us will become a believer today. You remember Thomas? We call him the doubter. Read the scriptures carefully, you'll find that all of them were doubting. But Thomas gets blamed because he gets a little more copy in the scripture by saying, I won't believe it till I can see Him. I'm not believing it till I can put my hand in His wound. Jesus showed up one day and He did. And He gave him the opportunity to say, My Lord and my God. Many of the discouraged became blessed because of the resurrection. We are so blessed in our country. We're blessed in our families. I'm not saying we're trouble-free. I'm not saying we're sorrow-free. We have our sufferings that we go through. We have our disappointments. But no matter what, we will always have Christ because He says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, when a preacher gets that riled up, you're supposed to say amen. But that's the truth. And disbelievers became believers. People who did not believe. Now, I'm going to tell you that, you know, as a young person, I know how hard it is. I didn't mean to make that sound like I'm young now. But you all knew that. That couldn't be possibly what he means, right? He's old duffer. As a young man, I know how difficult it was, it is, to balance a job, to balance a family, to balance the checkbook, to keep life itself all in balance. And sometimes I would think that God and all of that responsibility was over here. I was wrong about that. I don't know where in my life that I began to realize that only when God is first does the balancing act get easier. Can I get an amen from old duffers? So I'm telling you, young people, get in there with God. Get in there with His church, His body. Do something for Him. And your life will change. And you will be blessed. And the resurrection of Christ will be preached till He comes again. And for those of us who believe it and who live it, we will be blessed in the final day. Amen. God bless you. I love you. He wasn't in the tomb. I hope that where you've been looking, that you'll start looking in the Scripture because that's where you'll find Him. And that you too will be obedient to what the Scriptures say. that you'll make the Christ the Lord of your life, and that you will live for Him every day. We don't celebrate the resurrection just once a year around here, do we, brethren? We talk about it every time we get together. We partake of His supper to remember His death and His suffering. And how can you not mention His resurrection when you think about all of that? If you're ready today, would you come today? Put the Lord on in baptism. Be raised to walk in newness of life. Be ready to say, "Send me, Lord. I'm here. I'm ready." Why don't you come while we stand and sing?